Toby picked up slang as easily as any other information, and Zori Luari, out of class, had a colorful collection of words that sounded like nothing else. She nudged him with an elbow and glanced at a schoolmate neither of them much liked. Bortan asked questions just to delay the class.
Bistum Gai.
Prot.
It was like a secret language, Zori's slang, a way around Cascadia's fussy formality. And so far, no one had complained about it. Everyone had been on edge anyway, with more to worry about than adolescents using slang that might, if understood, be rude.
E Prot.
It was rude. Very rude indeed, but it was also funny. Toby grinned back.
My parents will be pleased to meet you, I'm sure. I know Mother has been...
They both knew that her mother, and Toby's aunt, had locked horns with the utmost courtesy and determination.
Less than understanding of your family's position back home, now that the Slaughter Key Ansible is back up.
They'll find out the family was nearly destroyed. That should definitely help.
Toby felt worse the closer they got to Zori's parents. They lived in Cascadia Station's most exclusive neighborhood, the Cone, with live trees along both sides of the pedestrian-only street. Cone Park, outside the gates, was the station's largest and held a small grove of pines. If Zori's parents wouldn't listen to Stella, he could think of no reason why they would listen to a boy under legal age. He felt much older than his official age, but he knew that did not matter. He was Stella's ward, and too young to plead his own case.
Something helped, or they wouldn't have invited you to meet them. Your cousin is still mistrustful, I see.
Zori glanced back over her shoulder. Toby could think of nothing polite to say. Stella had told him over and over why he must have security along on this social occasion. Clearly, she did not trust either station security or Zori's parents, and that was a form of insult. But he was her ward. He had to do what she said. Zori patted his arm.
Don't worry. I'm not upset with you. After what happened with your family, I can understand her feelings. But really, we're in the safest area of the station. You don't need your guards there, I promise.
I know. I know that, but she didn't just tell me. She told them. And they listened to her. How angry will your parents be?
Kafadit, Tiagri Bantoso. But she'll have told them, I'm sure, and they'll be upset with her, not you.
They were near the security gate now. Toby felt the prickle of sweat under his arms.
Kazurit. Zurin Far Kazurit Sim. Oh, I wish you knew what language it was. What root, anyway.
The gate slid aside, and Zori led him through.
Commercial code, my father says. Don't you Vatas have something similar?
Yes, but it's based on one of those Slaughter Key languages. Extinct now. Tam something.
What the?
Toby turned around. The gate had shut before his security could get through.
What happened?
Your cousin must not have told my father that you were bringing them. The gate was set for only the two of us. Well, that's one way of getting rid of them.
The two men were glaring through the gate.
I can't. Stella would be most upset.
Zori gave him a challenging look.
My parents were most upset about you, remember? And I faced them down. Are you that...
He could see the effort she made to frame it in courteous terms.
That... Pratvin?
It's not a matter of courage.
Her brows went up, the expression on her face all scorn and utterly beautiful at once. Toby felt his heart turn over. Gazurit Adden, she'd said. She loved him. He still didn't know why she loved him, but cowardice certainly wasn't the reason. He could still feel her warm breath on his ear when she'd said it. He could still smell her fragrance.
I have to explain to them. That's only polite.
She nodded, her face relaxing now. Toby walked the few steps back to the gate.
I'm sorry, but apparently Stella didn't tell Zori's father that I would have an escort. The gate said only for two, and Zori doesn't have the right to let anyone else in. When I get to her place, I'll ask her parents to let you in, but really, you can see, you know, it's the Cone. Nothing bad happens here, I'll be fine.
You should come out, you know that. Your cousin told you...
She wants me safe. I understand that. But I'm perfectly safe here. It's the Cone, after all.
It's our job. We're supposed to be with you at all times.
And they had been. and he and Zori had not been able to do anything without those watchful and, he feared, amused adult gazes on them.
I'm not coming out. I'm just going to meet Zori's parents. And it would be rude to be late. You can explain to Stella.
We certainly will.
A few minutes later, in the elegant salon of Zori's place, Toby returned the polite bow of the older man, Zori's father, whose perfectly tailored suit and polished shoes seemed impregnable as a suit of armor.
And this is my wife, Zori's mother.
He gestured to a dark-haired woman in a gown of pale green. She had not risen from her chair. Like all the others in the room, it had thin, curved legs and a narrow seat upholstered in stripes of green and cream. Toby bowed again, this time more deeply, as appropriate for a young man to an older woman. His voice broke on the formal phrase of greeting. He could feel the blood rushing to his face.
It is our pleasure to welcome our daughter's school friend.
Something in her manner reduced Toby to the level of a grubby schoolboy, the age to have sweets stuck to his pocket linings. He was more than a school friend, he wanted to say, but he knew he could not.
Toby's very bright, Mother.
Her father glanced briefly at Toby, a glance like a knife blade.
So you have told us, Zori? It is the first time you have not headed the class, so he must be remarkable.
Do sit down. We have a little time until the meal is served.
Zori perched on the chair nearest her mother. Toby, following her glance, took one two seats away, across from her father, who now sat next to his wife.
I understand that your family has had a great tragedy.
Yes, Sarah. We were attacked across many systems. I am fortunate to be alive.
You yourself were attacked? A boy so young?
Yes, Sarah. If not for my cousin Stella, whom you've met...
I have not met her. I have only spoken with her.
Spoken with? If not for her, I would be dead. She saved my life.
Zori's mother's fingers twitched, pleating the fabric of her skirt.
And now you honor her. How very appropriate. I understand your family had extensive holdings on several planets, especially on Slaughter Key, that you were, in fact, among the founding families there.
Yes, Sarah.
We value land, you see, not just wealth, as a sign of a family's stability. Land stays, people wander. Those who have no roots in the land are rootless. Do you not think that is so?
I suppose.
He had never thought of it that way. The Vata family owned land, yes, and some of the family farmed or ranched. But the point was always trade and profit, selling the produce of the land, transporting it to market.
Tell me, Toby, did you grow up on a planet or in space?
On a planet. My grandmother always said children need to get mud between their toes.
A quick glance passed between Zori's parents.
Well, how quaint! You did not wear shoes, then?
Not at the beach, or at the lake.
Toby had forgotten that Cascadians did not approve of bare feet. Of course not on station, but he wondered about on planet. Surely they swam in their lakes and rivers and oceans. Zori's mother smiled at him, and for a moment he saw in her face the similarity to Zori, until now concealed by age and dress and formality. Zori had her eyes, her cheekbones, but her father's chin.
Ah! Your culture's customs are less formal than ours, I believe.
Yes, Sarah.
Toby dared not say more. He'd put his foot in it already. She glanced at her husband.
Still lands. Formal or informal, there is more difference between landed families and those rootless than between formal and informal.
Zori's father stirred on his chair. Then he stood.
There is still time before our meal, Zoraeus. I will show your friend my collection of Cascadian curiosities. Come, Toby.
Zori flashed him a grin as he stood and followed her father out of the salon. Her father's office was almost as large, paneled in dark wood carved to represent vines and leaves and fruit, tree branches, even animals and birds. Translucent panels gave light that varied from green to gold, creating a forest floor ambience. Pinlights picked out some of the carvings, intensifying the illusion.